There is something about having a heart of gratitude that makes life, I think, more bearable. It makes it lighter. It makes it more manageable. And there are times in our life where there's a unique opportunity to renew our outlook with the fresh eyes of gratitude. So I'll ask the question, in the midst of this pandemic, what has that been for you? What are you grateful for with a fresh outlook as a result of all of this? And I'm going to ask you to think about that as the worship team sings this first song. But first, we can read together. So I would like us to read this congregational Thanksgiving litany together. I'll read the blue if you read the yellow. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. Let us remember his mercy, for he is gracious and compassionate.
We thank you for calling us to faith in Christ, for putting your spirit within us, for giving us the mind of Christ, for gathering us into your church.
We thank you, Lord, for extending your grace to us, for calling us to a life of gratitude, for calling us to service in your kingdom.
Thanks be to God.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, for he satisfies the thirsty. He fills the hungry with good things, and he heals the afflicted. Let us celebrate his abundant goodness.
We thank you, gracious Father, that you provide for all our needs, for the food on our tables, for the clothes on our bodies, for the beds we sleep in, and for the dwellings that shelter us.
We praise you for all your gifts that go beyond our basic needs, for the things that make our work easier, for the conveniences of modern life, for the beauty and pleasure that you bring into our lives.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Jesus.
give you opportunity to say a prayer to yourself, to finish this sentence. God, you are greater than. So whatever is going on in your life, the life of someone you love, how would you finish that prayer this morning? God, you are greater than. Yeah. anything we will face and anything we will go through. You are seated on the throne. You are glorious. You are mighty. You are merciful. You are present. You are here. The God who will never leave. The God who will never forsake. We love you. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back. It's good to see all of you. I was surprised at how emotional I got this morning when I saw you walking through the doors. It's been a long time since we've seen each other. And, you know, we know the church is not the building itself. It's all of us here. And we want to say hello to our Hosanna family and others who are joining us through live streaming this morning. I also want to start this morning by saying thank you for all the prayers that you've prayed for our congregation, for our community, and for our country over these many days, and for all the acts of kindness that you have done within our Hosanna family and beyond these four walls. We also want to thank you for your continued giving, mailing in your checks, using push pay and automatic giving. Thank you for that. And if you've been noticing the offerings in your bulletin, it's been amazing how God is providing. And for all of you here this morning, we have an offering bucket in the back that you can drop your offering in on the way out. Just want to take a couple minutes to share some updates with you. The bulletin is posted on our website and along with some other announcements, so you want to check that out. Our junior and senior high youth have been meeting in person, practicing safety precautions, although senior high won't be meeting today because Jared is on vacation. KidVenture, our children's ministry, has been meeting via Zoom for many months and is going to continue to do that. Also, although Vacation Bible Adventure had to be canceled in June, our kids are going to have an opportunity to do two virtual abbreviated sessions of Vacation Bible Adventure and an in-person tie-dye session with safety precautions in place. That's all going to be coming up at the end of July and the beginning of August, so stay tuned for all of those details. Hopefully you had a chance to read the safety tips on your table of what we're doing to keep you safe and how you can help to keep our Hosanna family safe. So again, we want to thank you for wearing face masks, honoring social distancing, and as Sean said, as hard as it was this morning to not sing during the service. We're doing this for all for each other, to honor each other. Now, you may be wondering where Tony and Joanne are this morning. Well, both of their family vacations fell on our first Sunday back together. Neither one of them liked missing our first Sunday back, so they have a little something they would like to share with all of you. And then following that, Rick McKinney is going to come and bring us the message called Life in Transition.
Hi, Hosanna. Tony here. I am really, really bummed. I have been looking forward since mid-March when we were unable to meet in person for the first time. I've been looking forward to the day in which we could all be back together again. Of course, that day is not yet here and probably won't be for some time, as there's quite a few of us that are not able or ready yet to be physically back together again. But some of you are today, and you're worshiping in Hosanna's auditorium, and I had hoped to be there with you. I had planned to be there with you. As we got further and further into scheduling, we realized that the first day to attempt that was likely to be on the date that Carol and I had planned with our daughters all back last fall to be away on a family vacation. And things worked out where we could still do this. And the rest of the team said, go ahead and take your vacation. And I really appreciate that because, to be honest, we do need that time. And I need a little bit of that rest and recovery time. But that does prevent me from being with those of you who are together in person. Although, of course, I'm glad to say hello to all of you and those of you who are watching online or those of you watching the recording to let you know that the fact that I can't see you in person doesn't diminish in any way my appreciation for you and my delight in you and the good feelings that I get every time that God brings you to mind. I've been praying for you all through this very, very much. So there's somebody else who's been encouraging so many of us through this time period, and that's, I want to call attention to April Audie. As most of you know, April suffered a real unexpected blow when Barry passed away in early June, and we were all caught off guard by that. And except for a few days surrounding that event, April has been sending us, nearly since the time this pandemic began, a daily encouragement from Scripture. I've been sending it to his staff and the elders, encouraging us as we've been trying to encourage others. And I can't tell you how much that and other things like that, so many acts of kindness, so many ways that you've encouraged us have meant to us. And one came through here the other week. In the morning, I got it. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Isn't that awesome? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The Lord is with us wherever we are. This morning, we have the opportunity to be blessed by our friend Rick. Rick, thank you so much for being willing to lead this. You are a pillar. You are part of the strength of this community, and your voice has credibility because you walk through the hard times and you've done it in front of us. And so we're grateful that you're willing to give leadership and teaching this morning. We're grateful for Sean and Deb and the others who are providing leadership for the worship experience. It's different than normal. The fact that we can do live stream is different, and it's wonderful. So while this particular video is recorded, I want to let you know that Carol and I plan to be with you live by live stream Sunday morning. So I may be watching myself say this when that time comes. So we're really looking forward to just that availability. And one of the beautiful things about this is giving us the opportunity to reconnect with some of you that have moved out of the area and haven't even been able to participate in the life of Hosanna. In recent months, you have been, and are in one sense, our friends are back because we have been able to meet in this space. So we're grateful for all of that. I'm grateful for you. So may things will be different this morning, but God will be with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God will see us through this. He already has. And I look forward to the day when we are able to meet each other face to face, and the day when I can indeed give some hugs and receive some hugs again, all in good time. Blessings.
Hello, Hosanna, and happy Sunday morning to those of you gathered in our newly reopened building. Woohoo! And also to all of you who are attending at home, either live or by recording. Isn't it great to have so many ways to worship the Lord together? I'm recording this greeting because, in God's never-ending sense of humor, the timing of our regathering in Lititz coincided with my family vacation, which had been planned literally last fall. So, wish you were here, or we were there, but never fear, we'll be there next Sunday, and looking forward to it. In the meantime, enjoy this time of worship and Rick's message and the bond of love we always share in the Spirit, no matter where we are. May you experience open hands of gratitude and tender hearts of love and the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding. We'll see you next week, and praying for you all between now and then. Blessings, enjoy, and bye-bye.
Good morning, Hosanna. How's everybody doing today? Great. I'm going to move a couple of things off of this for a moment. And do I play peekaboo? I'm not going to play peekaboo. I'm going to come over here. I'm not singing, so I'm not spitting all over you. So I think it'll be all right. As has been mentioned, the title of today's message, well, before I say that, I want to say it's good to see your smiling faces. Well, your smiling eyes. And I agree with Tony and Joanne. It is weird not to be able to give you a hug, not to be able to give you a smiley face stamp on your hand. All of those things. You know, it's just, this is strange, isn't it? This is weird. But we're back together again. And this is life in transition, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. The glasses that I wear have lenses that are called transition lenses. Some of you have the same thing. For those of you who don't know, if I took a minute or two and had you just sit here quietly, and I went outside and then came back in, my glasses would be dark because they transition from clear to dark. How many of you have, some of you have those, don't you? A lot of you, quite a few of you do. Those of you who don't wear glasses, maybe you had no idea that that's what we're talking about. But these are, they transition, you know, from inside to outside, from dark to light and back to dark again. So we think about a transition. What is transition? Transition is a passage from one state, a stage, a subject, or a place to another. If I were to ask you, he's going to tell me how far I can go. Thank you so much. That's as far as I can go, all right? Hi, everybody. I can go this far, okay? I'm good. And for those of you who are at home, I can go that far. That's as far as I can go. So, how many of you have experienced a period of transition during the last 4 months? Everybody can raise your hand, right? Everybody raises your hand. All the transitions have been different. For some of us, transitions have meant working from home. For some of the people that I either work with or who are my customers, their transitions have been trying to balance working from home with 4-year-olds and 2-year-olds at home, you know, or 9-year-olds at home. It's hard to do that. It's really tough. I talked to one of my clients who she and her husband have a 2 and a 4-year-old or something. And every night they both work from home. Now, every night they would look at their calendars and they would figure out which 2-hour period one of them got to work and the other one had to take care of the kids. And they would switch back and forth, 2 hours here and 2 hours there. And you know, it was really tough. So, you know, there are a lot of transitions. I have a transition in addition to that that's happening. I turn 70 July 3rd. Thank you very much. Thank you. And I told the people at work that I was going to retire in June. And they said, oh, would you please stay around a little bit? So, okay. So I'll stay around half time. So I'm semi-retired as of July the 1st. So that means I'm working 20 hours a week. I work a full day on Monday, half a day Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I remember Friday, full day off, and started doing that in June as far as the Friday is concerned. So Beth and I are joking with each other. We now have 2 Saturdays. Friday's our first Saturday. And Saturday's our second Saturday. So she has 1 Saturday. We do whatever she wants to do. And I get the other Saturday. We do whatever I want to do. So, you know, it's kind of a transition. Now, one of the things that I wanted to be able to do in transition, and most of you know this, was drive for Uber and Lyft and have some fun talking to people. I haven't done that in 4 months, and I don't know when I'm going to start doing it. So that's a transition that didn't quite turn out the way I thought and hoped that it might. Let's talk about transitions and the types of transitions that we have. One, we'll move to the next slide here. Before I do that, back up, I forgot about that one. I apologize. One of the things, I found this on the internet. Digital transformation is years away. I don't see our company having to change anytime soon. Anybody who was saying that 4 months ago? Yeah. Some of my clients that I work with have found that they had to shut down stores. And their e-commerce business, online business, which might have been about this much, grew that much because you know, that's where they were selling. So, you know, it was kind of a cute little comic there. All right, let's take a think about transitions. One type of transition is a voluntary transition. In other words, you make a choice. You make a decision. And you say, this is what's going to happen. This is what I'm going to do. One of those is getting married. Most people, at least in our culture, don't get married because somebody says you're going to marry this person, you're going to marry them then. Now, that can happen in other cultures, but in our culture, basically, it's a decision. You say, I am going to get married, and you make that choice. Another choice for most of us is, you know, if you're married and you want to have a baby, you're deciding, when do we want to have a child? Or buying a house. Maybe if you're renting a house and you want to buy a house. These are all voluntary choices that you make and voluntary transitions. And there are some people in the Bible who made some voluntary choices, some voluntary transitions. Abraham was one. So we think about Abraham. I think we've got a picture of Abraham coming up. There we go. Abraham left the land of Ur in which he was living, and he chose to move to the land which God was giving him. So it was a voluntary choice. Another choice, and I skipped this one, I apologize. Let's go back to Moses. That was my error here. So there, Moses was another one. Moses had a choice. When he went to that burning bush, and God said, I want you to lead my people. What was the first thing he did? Oh, yeah, God, I'm ready to go. No, he started arguing with him, didn't he? He started saying, you got the wrong guy here. You know, I'm a shepherd, pretty much. I can't speak well. I don't do well. You got the wrong guy. And he kept giving him a couple of arguments. But finally, what did he do? He made a choice to accept that, what God had put before him. So again, he had a voluntary transition. And then Jesus' father, Joseph, he was betrothed, engaged to Mary. And the angel came, told him that Mary was going to be with child. He had a choice. He could choose to go forward with the marriage or not. So some of us, you know, think about in your past, you've had choices. You've had voluntary choices that you decided to do something, whatever that is. Some transitions, though, are just the opposite, aren't they? They are, I might call them involuntary. In other words, somebody else makes a decision, and you don't have any choice. And there's a transition as a result of that decision. You get fired from a job. You get laid off. Again, let's go back to where we are right now in the last 4 months. There are a lot of people who had jobs doing certain things, whatever they may be. Think about the people in sports who worked in selling food and other things, you know, in the commissaries and all of that. You know, they didn't have any choice. They got laid off. Restaurants, they didn't have any choice. They got laid off. It was totally involuntary. Sometimes, you know, some of you in the last 4 months may have had a transition that was a result of a decision that was made by someone else. It was completely involuntary. A couple of biblical examples again. Joseph, who in the Old Testament, his brothers sold him into slavery. Well, obviously that wasn't his choice. He didn't want to go into slavery. But yet he had to, and there was that transition to being a slave. Paul and Silas in jail. They're preaching the gospel, and they get put into jail. And it was an involuntary transition. It was not something that they wanted to happen. There's another type of transition, and that's what we call life events. Now, it's not a decision made by anybody. It's something that happens to you. And again, if we come back to the last 4 months, there have been a lot of people who have gotten sick. It was a life event. There are people who have died. It's a life event, and it affected their family members. So some of these transitions are life events. Another example in the Bible would be Mary and Martha and Lazarus. You know, and that's another example of an involuntary or a life event. Let's think about how quickly some transitions happen. Some happen very quickly. Think about having a baby. Now, you've got 9 months to prepare for it, right? And when the baby comes, even if it's a long labor, even if it's 24 or 48 hours, and when you think about the overall context of things, when that baby is born, it happens. You know, it's a quick event. So there are some events in our lives that are quick. Starting a new job. You know, one day you're not at that job, the next day you are. Again, buying a house. One day you're living someplace, the next day you're living someplace else. So some are happening quickly. But you know, some transitions are rather slow. They happen slowly. And one of those transitions, I think we have a picture here. Oh, I wonder who that is. Rick and Beth, almost 49 years ago. How about that? But something happened slowly over 49 years. They got older. Look at that. And there we are with my family. You know, some transitions, they happen so much over time, they're gradual. Inside, I'm not 70 years old. Inside, I'm maybe 25 or 30. But you try to get me to help pick up a lot of heavy stuff when we move, my muscles say I'm not 35. My muscles say I'm 70. But how did that happen? Any of you recognize that in your own life? How did it happen? I mean, I didn't wake up one day and all of a sudden it was there. You don't really, sometimes the gradual transitions, you don't really see them usually. And then one day you wake up and all of a sudden you realize there's been a transition. Aging is probably not the only one, but it's a really good example for all of us. Some transitions occur every day. How many of you went to sleep last night? I hope most of you did. How many of you woke up this morning? I hope most, well, you're here, so obviously you did. So that transition from sleeping to waking and back to sleeping again, back and forth, that's, for most of us, should be a daily occurrence. If it's not daily, then there's a little bit of a problem. Let's think about whether that's voluntary or involuntary for a minute. So how many of you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you last night, whatever time it was, whether it was early, 8, 9 o'clock, whether it was late, 10, 11, or midnight, got in bed, rolled over and closed your eyes, and you made a choice to go to sleep. Now, whether you went to sleep immediately or not, you know, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but you made a choice to go to sleep. And then maybe you set an alarm. I set an alarm. I'm not an early person, but sometimes I feel like I need to get up early because of what I've got to do. So I set the alarm, and I got up at 6 o'clock this morning. I chose to do that, and I chose last night to go to sleep. There are times in the evening I'm watching TV. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? Yeah, everybody knows where I'm going with this one. I'm not choosing to go to sleep. Oh, wait a minute. Did I go to sleep there? You know? Yeah. So, quick story. When I was probably 20 years old or so, I've told this story to some of you before, but I was the organist at our church. And we had a youth choir that sang at the 8:30 service. And then there was an adult choir that sang at the 11 o'clock service. Saturday nights, I did not go to bed early. I would be out till midnight maybe or 1 o'clock. And then I had a morning paper out. And I was supposed to deliver my papers around 4 o'clock in the morning. And there was many a Sunday morning that my district manager would call me on the phone. Are you coming or not? Oh, thank you for waking me up. And I'd go and get rid of my papers, come home, ink all over my hands, clean up, take a shower, be at the church building by 8 o'clock. we'd practice a few minutes, have the service, and during the message, I'm sitting on the front, we had pews, I'm sitting on the front pew, and our pastor gave the same message, both services, but I'm sitting there on the front pew. Fortunately, I didn't snore. Well, that's true. He never told me I snored. And in the second service, I could always tell where I went to sleep because since he read his messages, I didn't hear that in the first service, so that must have been the period when I was asleep. So some transitions happen to be every day. And then finally, one thing I want to think about transitions as far as what they are is the fact that all transitions contain unknowns. Just about all. Think about that for a minute. You start a new job. You have an idea of what that job's going to be. But guess what? You've never worked for that boss before. You've never worked for those people before. And there are an awful lot of unknowns. You may or may not know how to do the job. Even if you know how to do the job, there are still going to be unknowns in that new job. When you get married, I mean, Beth and I had known each other for a year, year and a half. Most of you know, we dated 6 weeks, we're engaged for three. We knew each other so well. Talk about unknowns. Woo! There were a lot of unknowns. There are still a few, but not as many. Yeah. So the thing about transitions, you know, they're voluntary, they can be involuntary, they can result from life itself. Some happen quickly, slowly, some occur every day, but all contain unknowns. So how do we respond to transitions in our lives? Well, one way that we sometimes respond is through resistance. I am not going to do that. Or maybe, you ever hear the story, you know, about the little boy whose mom told him to sit down, and he wouldn't sit down? And she told him again to sit down, and he wouldn't sit down? She finally told him, if you don't sit down, you're going to get in trouble. You know? So he sat down. You remember what he said? I'm standing up on the inside. Yeah. Sometimes that's how we are. There are times that I've resisted change or whatever needed to happen. And we may go along with it. We may go ahead and do it, but we're still, standing up on the inside, aren't we? Yeah. Because we don't want that transition, whatever it may be. Another way that we can respond to transition is anger. Now, resistance and anger kind of go hand in hand in a way. You can resist without being angry. But sometimes you're going to stomp your foot and say, you know, you get mad about the fact of what's going on. Just a couple of examples. If you get sick or if you lose a loved one, sometimes people get angry, and you know who they get angry with, don't you? You get angry with God. And sometimes, you know, it's just a human emotion. When someone dies who's close to you that was unexpected, you can even be mad at them and say, that's not fair that you did this to me. Even though they didn't do it, and you know it in your head, but there's that emotion. There's that anger. Another option is, well, along with resistance and anger, is to have a poor attitude. And they all kind of wrap in together, you know what I mean? Yeah. We can maybe not say, I'm standing up on the inside, but we can just be really still upset and maybe not do what needs to be done the way that it should be because of our attitude. So we can have resistance, anger, poor attitude, and moving to the positive, there can be acceptance. Sometimes, though, acceptance might just be resignation. Acceptance really is a positive thing. It says, okay, I'm willing to accept this transition, even if it's not something that I would prefer to happen. Sometimes, though, instead of really acceptance, it's more of a resignation. You've been there before, haven't you? You're resigned to what's going to happen. You really might not have any choice, and you're going to go ahead and go along with it. You know, the best thing that can happen, though, is to have joy, happiness, and expectancy. Now, it can't always be that way, but sometimes there's a sense of joy, happiness, and expectancy. Again, talking about a new job, talking about a new baby, talking about a new house, just a variety of things. You know, sometimes we can have all of that. Now, this next slide really says something that's important. Transition is in your future. For a lot of us, it's today. But I'm going to guarantee you, now, by the way, I don't like fortune cookies. I don't eat them. I think they taste gross. How many of you like to eat fortune cookies? Anybody here? Oh, you poor gross people. Anytime I get one, I'll call you and you can have it. I don't ever eat them. No, I know. They're gross. But transition is in our future. It's a fact of life. So the question is, how can we manage and how can we handle transitions? And what I want us to think about is that there's a story, and it's kind of interesting. It kind of goes along with what Tony was saying earlier. But there's a story in the Old Testament. Moses, we talked about Moses already. Moses led the children of Israel for 40 years through the wilderness. At the end of that time, there was a transition time. And there was a transition from Moses to Joshua. Now, can you imagine following a leader like Moses? If you were Joshua, how would you feel? I mean, Moses is the top. I mean, he wasn't perfect. But the people followed him, even when they argued and even when they complained. And by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but there were probably a couple of million people. It's a lot of folks. And let's go ahead and go to the next slide. So this is what God said to Joshua. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Tony just said that, didn't he? Isn't that wonderful? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So the first thing for us to recognize is we don't have to be afraid of transitions. Got that? We don't have to be afraid of transitions. You know what fear is? Fear is being worried that something undesirable will occur or be done, or it's unwilling or reluctant to do something for fear of the consequences. And we might also put the word anxiety in here, because sometimes anxiety and fear kind of go together. Have you ever been faced with a transition where you were afraid of what the results were going to be? And if you were, then what does that do to you in the pit of your stomach? Yeah, it can make you physically sick, can't it? Absolutely. And anxiety can do the exact same thing. And one of the things that fear and anxiety can do for us, or to us, it can literally paralyze us. There are times that if there's a transition getting ready to happen, instead of doing what we need to do to facilitate it or to be a part of it or to move forward with it, if there's fear, if there's anxiety, we might just not do anything. And sometimes that's the worst thing that can happen. And God was saying to Joshua, basically, Moses, okay, is leaving. You're now going to be the leader. You do not need to be afraid. Not only do you not need to be afraid, but you don't need to be discouraged. What is discouragement? Having lost confidence or enthusiasm. When you're discouraged, are you very enthusiastic? No. Discouragement and depression can go hand in hand, can't it? Yeah. And if you're discouraged about a transition, then again, you're not going to be looking forward to it. You're not going to be moving into it. You're not going to be watching and finding out where God is or what's going on. And God says, we don't need to be discouraged. You know, when the Hebrews nation went into the promised land, although God said, don't be discouraged, God did not just give it to them. They had to fight. You remember that? They had a lot of battles. And in the midst of those battles, it would be easy to be discouraged and forget that God was there. So God says, I'll be with you. He says, don't be discouraged. And the next thing is we can have confidence. The feeling of belief that one can rely on someone or something. Firm trust. Let's go to the next slide, please. Stay steady, knowing that God is with you. That is exactly what God told Joshua. He said, I will be with you. Let's go there. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Isn't that a neat picture? Yeah. Kayaking, yeah. My little six-year-old Quinn and I got to kayak together about a week ago. It was a lot of fun. And you know what? She's out there in the water, and is she afraid? No. And what's one reason she's not afraid? I am with her. Yeah, absolutely. God is our confidence in the midst of transition. We don't know what's going to happen because there are a lot of unknowns. The transitions that we are in may not be transitions of our choosing. Although in the midst of this, there may be some choices that we can make as far as transitions are concerned. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be discouraged. Because God is with us. You know, he was with Moses. He was with Joshua. He was with Abraham. He was with Joseph. And you know what I want you to say just to yourself? He is with me. Can you say that to yourself? Yeah. He is with me. You know, these words are easy and confident, but confidence and confidence even with God usually comes from experience. How many of you, when you first learned how to drive, let me ask this question. How many of you learned how to drive with a stick shift? Any of you here? A few of you did, okay. When you first learned how to drive with a stick shift, did it go a little bit like this? And did the person who was riding next to you and teaching you try to be very patient, but maybe wasn't always very patient? Let up on the clutch a little slower! Yeah. But hopefully, after a few days or weeks, or maybe months, you became more confident. Now, maybe if you were up on a hill, you still had a problem, all right? But if you were on the flat and even, you could start off okay. And you could shift gears okay because you had experience. And that's the way it is with just about anything that we do. Now, Beth bought me a drone for my birthday. I am learning how to fly it. Am I extremely confident now? No. But over time, will I be? You can count on it. Absolutely. Now, confidence with God is kind of similar. What do you mean, Rick? We look at our experience, and where has he been in the past? How's he been with us in the past? And as we move forward, I'll tell you this. God's been gracious to us in a lot of ways, in the sense that there are a lot of bad things that haven't happened in our life. I mean, we've experienced some tough times, as all of you have at one point or another. I'm confident, though, that if something, an involuntary transition that I did not want to happen and didn't like, if it happened in my life, I would know deep down inside that God would get me through it, and that in the end, I would be able to look back and see where God was in the midst of it all. Why can I say that? Because I can go back here a little bit, and I can see God was here with me when that happened. He was here with me when this happened. He was here with me when I lost a job. He was here with me when my job changed to where I didn't want it to change. He was here with me when this happened and when that happened. And he's never going to leave me. So I know that I have that confidence. Something else. God will equip you during transitions. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. When Moses became the leader of the Hebrew nation, God gave him a staff that he could throw down, and it became a snake. God equipped him. He said, I'm not a good speaker. He said, I'm going to give you your brother. He will speak for you. When Elisha became the prophet after Elijah, he got Elijah's cloak. God said, I'm giving you a double portion of what Elijah had. God promises that whatever we're going to go through, he's going to equip us. And by the way, some of that equipment is just friends helping us. It's not because that doesn't mean you're going to know everything you need to know or every step of the way you need to. But that equipment is going to be there to help us get through that situation. God promises that. Finally, the Christian life is a life of transition. And the Christian life might be the greatest transition of all. Isn't it beautiful? Think about this. Is this a voluntary or involuntary? It's voluntary, because you made the choice, didn't you? You chose to follow God. And when you chose to follow him, you moved from darkness into what? Light. You moved from death into what? Life. Now, any of you who are perfect here, raise your hands. Okay, I don't see any hands. Any of you who are not perfect here, ask Beth, she'll tell you that I'm not perfect. So, part of the Christian life is not making us better. You don't need to be better. But there is a transition into holiness. And what I mean by that, there are certain things that you may have done and acted in certain ways when you became a Christian that might not have been the best. And God begins to work some of that stuff out of you so that the holiness that is in you begins to come out in ways that it didn't before. Folks, all of life is a transition. The Christian life is the best transition of all. And in the midst of that, final slide here, many more transitions are in your future. I can promise you that. And the joy of it all is that God's there with us. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be discouraged. Life is good even when it's bad. Do you understand what I mean by that? Life is good even when it's bad because God is with us. And we can count on that. Worship team's going to come, and we're going to sing a song of blessing for you.
So this song was written in March, and it was right before the pandemic, and it swept all over the world, and it sort of became this theme song for the world through this pandemic, and it's a prayer of blessing taken from Numbers chapter 6. And so we wanted to close our first gathering back together with this blessing over you, your loved ones, and your families.
children and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, your family, your children, and their children, and their children.
May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile upon your face and be gracious to each of you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. God loves you, and may you have a wonderful week and enjoy your transitions this week.